time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump right into our interview, we are going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is Sustained by Grace. This is actually off of my CD, which is entitled True Worship. Sit back and enjoy.
Soul, your faithfulness has changed my life.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed Sustained by Grace. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out all of the great information about Love Ministries from their website. Just go straight to loveministriesbuilds.org. And that'll give you all the information and how to reach out to Love Ministries. Well, I want to welcome one of my very good friends. This is Meredith Downs. Hey, Meredith.
Good morning.
It is so good to have you here. So Meredith and I, I have to really think about when we met, because it was, of course, at Tyler Street. And we probably met from the beginning. So I started when I was in fourth grade. That means you were in third grade.
No, I was with Spencer. So we were probably in the second grade.
Were y'all right after me? 1 year after me or two years?
2 years after.
2 years? Okay. So second grade. Mm-hmm. So Meredith is in the same, graduated with my younger brother, Spencer Jones. And so our families really have been friends ever since.
Our whole lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Ever since. And then our dads both work for IBM.
Yes.
In different areas, but they both work for IBM. So they were both, you know, nerdy in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And they could, like, stand in the corner and talk while we were living our life and having fun and, you know,
we
laughing.
Cheerleading,
you know,
and playing sports.
Yes.
And dads were in the corner.
In
just
the corner.
Being big nerds.
Yeah, so that was our life, like, the whole time. And our moms, very involved in school and in our lives and, in everything.
Every aspect.
Every aspect, yeah. I'm trying to think of one aspect when they were that they were not involved in, but we can't think of one.
No.
So, but our moms are absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
Debbie Repka is your mom.
Yes.
Myra Jones, my mom. So I really wanted Meredith to come here. And Meredith, I thank you for your time to come and to share with us.
I'm glad to be here.
I put together a group of women, I think, like, right before Christmas of last year. And I asked them, what kind of topics would you want for us to discuss on the show in 2019? And adoption was one of the topics, because some people that are thinking about adopting, they're just still at the level where they're just kind of standing back, just kind of thinking. Some people are just, you know, really, they haven't even thought about adoption, but they're like, I do want children. I don't know. They're still praying about it. Us Christians, we pray
we
for
tend
years.
To pray about
yes,
everything first.
Years and years before we move on anything, you know, and so I start thinking, okay, who in my life has gone through this process? Because I know it can be very overwhelming, and I know it takes forever. And so sometimes people are hesitant to kind of jump in, but they want more information about it. So I was like, okay, let me just get a mom in here who would just share her testimony, who would just, you know, just let us know how you know, the backstory, how you even got to thinking about adoption, and then how has the adoption process gone for you? What were the great things? What were the terrible things? Because I know that there are both.
Yes.
And really the end result is you have a beautiful baby boy.
Yes.
Which
so
is the perfect end result, you know? So so take us back to, like, the beginning, the backstory. How did you get all the way to, okay, we're going to adopt?
Okay. So my husband David and I got married in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And about 6 months into our marriage, after much nagging on my part, I was like, let's start trying. He was like, wait, we need to save some more money. And I was like, but see, I think really we should just go ahead and try.
Mm-hmm.
So we started.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, David and I didn't get married until I was 32. I don't know if that plays a part or not,
mm-hmm.
but we had a year and a half, 2 years where we were trying and we were tracking things and thinking we're going to get pregnant any minute, any minute, any minute. And finally we thought maybe we should get some help because I was already 34 and I thought time is precious and it's running out. So I got to do something. So I made an appointment with an infertility doctor on a Monday morning. The day before that, on a Sunday, we found out I was pregnant.
Okay.
Yes, quite the surprise. Yes. We kept our appointment and we still went in, met with them, and it's a wonderful group in Fort Worth. Unfortunately, after a couple of weeks, the pregnancy didn't work out. And unfortunately, I now have a sweet angel baby in heaven with Jesus, which must be where my baby was meant to be all along. But fast forward a couple of years and we're not sure why, but we have what's called unexplained infertility. They have no idea why it doesn't work. We don't have an answer. There's not something wrong with this or something wrong with that. We did the testing and everything, but they just don't have any idea. And so at that point, David and I talked about it, and our options were IVF or adoption.
Okay.
And adoption is very daunting.
Yeah.
Because it takes so much emotional and mental stamina, as well as a huge financial commitment. And my husband and I are both educators. Needless to say, we are not wealthy. And then we kind of compared the costs between adoption and IVF and decided we weren't really ready to make that kind of financial commitment to adoption. And then for me, IVF didn't feel right.
Oh, okay.
Everybody has their own opinion of, of ways and not ways to go. And for me, that just wasn't something I was comfortable with.
Okay. Okay.
And so we said, well, we'll just wait and kind of see what happens. Start praying about it and see where we go. And to be real frank, I was super angry. I was mad.
Okay.
Mad with God. Because I had always wanted a family. David wanted a family. And
I remember talking about it when we were young. I mean,
I was the kid who always babysat. And then I nannied. And so we desperately wanted a family. And then I felt like that's how God had built me to be a mommy. And I had the heart for that. And I loved all my kids that I nannied and babysat. I still pray for them. All the way back to kids from eighth grade when I babysat. I love my kids. And so for a while, we were just sort of devastated and a little bit angry. He was a little bit angry. I was a lot angry with God because I questioned why you would build me this way if it wasn't going to work. So it took a lot of time for me to kind of come to terms with that, for me to realize God didn't do this to me. I didn't. And sort of in my brain, I thought, but I checked all the boxes. I did all the things. I didn't do drugs. I didn't sleep around. I went to college and I got a job and I got I did all the things. And I remember clearly my mom telling me that it doesn't work that way, honey. You don't you don't put in your coins and get
this result.
No, that's just not how it works. Our family motto is life's rough and then you die. Of course, in our mind, then you die means, ooh, then it's all over and you go to heaven.
Celebrate with Jesus.
But anyhow, it for a long time, it felt like a trick and I kept asking why, why? And to be real frank with you, there is no answer. I don't get to know why. I just kind of have to make a peace with that. And I remember sitting, it was around Christmas time, and David and I had gone to church with my mom and dad, and they were singing It Is Well with my soul. And I remember sitting in church just crying because it has to be well with my soul. I don't have an answer. I don't have a why. I will never. But for whatever reason, this is our path. And so I had to sort of accept that biologically I might not get to be pregnant. I might not get to make somebody that has my same horrible teeth or terrible vision.
That's so funny.
But in the, well, you know, got to pass on a few things from my dad. But in the long run, I still could be a mom. So that's how we kind of decided, I think we're going to do this. I think we're going to go there. That's the that's mostly the backstory of how we came to making the big commitment to adopt.
Yeah, yeah. And during this time, how did your family, because your family, like my family, is very close. Mm-hmm. We're all very close-knit. So how did your family support you and David, and how did they help you navigate this time?
Well, I can tell you that every single member of my family prayed mm-hmm. that whatever was supposed to be, we would arrive at what God's plan was.
Right.
And I remember talking about, do we adopt? Do we not adopt? Do we? And my mom and my younger sister in particular talked about, if you want a family, then proceed. If you don't want a family, then don't. But don't let fear be what holds you back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so my mom and both of my sisters and I are, you know us.
Yes.
We live in each other's pockets.
Yes, yes.
And we talked about,
and everybody's just very honest.
Yes. Painfully so.
Yes, yes.
And my oldest sister, especially Bethany,
yes,
is quite the thinker. And mm-hmm. so she would talk about, well, but if you want this, then there is a way. There is
right.
a way. There
right.
is a way.
Right.
And so she was very logical, where mm-hmm. I'm such a feeler,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like my mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they were very encouraging that if you want a family, we will figure this out, just
right.
like we have figured right. out everything
right.
else.
Right, right.
And then, especially once we had decided to proceed in 2017 with filling out the paperwork and getting everything together, it was at that time that my younger sister was going through chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
She was having, you remember, Shannon's
right.
long battle
right.
with cancer. And then I was talking about, is this selfish right now? And every mm-hmm. single member of our family very much encouraged us and said, no, we have to keep living. We have to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No matter what our outcome is, mm-hmm. even my younger sister,
mm-hmm.
she said, whether I'm here for it or not,
mm-hmm.
we have to keep pressing forward. And if this is something you want, it's not selfish to take time for this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing.
Very much
for
so.
For her to have that outlook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And thank the Lord that he has healed her from cancer.
Oh,
and
heavens,
so,
yes.
Yes.
I tell my sister all the time, I don't know what I would do.
I know.
Because she comes over and she helps with the baby. And for her, as well as the rest of my family,
mm-hmm.
William, our son, is such mm-hmm. it's just the light of our lives.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So when you all... then when you said, okay, we are going to do this, how did you tackle the mountain of whatever? Because, you know, I've never adopted, so I don't even know. When you say, okay, I'm going to proceed, I'm going to put fear behind, we are going to do this, then what do you do?
So the first thing we did was consult our friends that had adopted.
Okay.
And we said, okay, so... What do we do?
Right.
And they told us how many options there are. You can adopt an infant. You can foster to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
You can adopt domestic, which is here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
You can adopt overseas. You
mm-hmm.
can. So a great friend of mine, Melissa, talked us through a lot of the research she had done. And so then it was like one more big decision.
Right, right.
One more thing to
right,
pray about
right,
for David and I.
Right.
Did we want to foster to adopt versus adopt an infant?
Right.
We kind of figured we would do domestic because there are so many sweet babies, so many wonderful children in the States that need a loving home.
Right.
So
right.
we knew we would stay domestic. And that's when we talked to some other friends that had done foster to adopt and learned that in the foster to adopt system, typically you're going through CPS. And
mm-hmm.
so the cases change
mm-hmm.
pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And there are situations where you may have a sweet, lovely angel in your house for 2 months, 6 months, a year, you don't know how long.
Right.
And then their parents have done whatever they need to do. And those children will return home with their biological parents.
Right.
And so David and I talked about that, and I did not want to be the lady on the news
mm-hmm.
on the run with her child to a foreign
After I
country.
I go back and get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I do not need to be that lady that stole her child back.
I understand.
To make sure that he got his bath time and cuddles before bed.
Right. Right.
That could not be me. I should
right.
not be on the news.
Right.
My mother said, no, let's not do that.
I completely understand that.
Because even all of my kiddos that I babysat and mm-hmm. nannied for, mm-hmm. I need to, is somebody taking care of you? Have right. you had dinner?
Right.
Did
right.
somebody give you a bath?
Right.
Have they
and
read you two books?
That is your personality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no way for me to let go
right.
of that.
Right, right.
I need to
right.
know my babies are in good hands.
Right, right.
So that's when we said, okay, we're going to go full tilt here, and we're going to start with itty-bitty baby.
Okay.
And diapers and vomiting and
mm-hmm.
the whole bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we started doing our research into different agencies because the sheer number of agencies out there is overwhelming.
Okay.
So we looked into some of the ones that have been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up settling on one in Dallas called Hope Cottage.
Okay.
So once we had done that, then it felt kind of like, whew,
okay,
we feel confident. We feel sure in our decision.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just all the legwork.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear that all
the legwork. Well, because you start by calling to say, hi, we're interested in adoption.
Right.
Yes. Could you send us some information? It was daunting, to
okay.
say the least.
Okay. Okay.
But they were wonderful. And, okay. of course, fabulous the whole
okay.
time.
But okay.
that's how we got started.
Okay. In Hope Cottage, do they have, are there agencies that have this kind of specialty?
Yes.
Okay.
There are some agencies, okay. like there are, is it the... It's the something children's home. There's ones for different denominations. Then there are ones that are like Hope Cottage. They're not associated with any religious group at all. So
okay.
not tied to any
okay.
church
okay.
entity.
Okay.
Then there's the Gladney Center. And like Gladney, they do, I believe they have a program for kiddos with special needs. They
mm-hmm.
do international adoption.
Mm-hmm.
They also do domestic. Hope Cottage, where we went, only does domestic adoption.
Okay.
But then they also have a foster to adopt program.
Okay. Okay.
So we chose their infant adoption
mm-hmm.
route.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'Cause we thought, you know, maybe second, third time around we would do foster to adopt. But this first time, we kind of wanted to do the nitty gritty.
Right, right, right.
I'm up every 2 hours and I haven't slept in 6 days.
You can't get past that with an infant.
No. So we really wanted to do that.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It's some kind of experience. Let me tell you, we did it twice.
We've only done it once, but we're open to doing it again.
So when you start the process with them, with Hope Cottage, and then did you have a friend that had gone through Hope Cottage?
Yes.
Is that why you decided
yes.
on Hope Cottage? Okay.
We decided on Hope Cottage. A friend of mine did a private adoption, but her good friend Samantha had adopted her son Knox through Hope Cottage.
Okay.
Samantha and her husband, not just Samantha. I feel like that's terrible. I can't leave him out.
Yes.
And so I actually spoke with Samantha and talked to her about the process and how she felt it had gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she
mm-hmm.
said they were wonderful and it was smooth and she was very, very please, the people there seem to care.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't
that's
just a money making
paperwork and yeah.
No, because I knew that they weren't related with any sort of church entity or religious
right.
entity. No, there was
right.
no God there.
Right. Okay.
But
okay.
I needed to know
yes.
that it was still a safe journey.
Yes. Yes.
Because even
yes.
though we had committed, I was nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Samantha sang, oh, it had been wonderful, and this is how it went, and these people are still there, and they're fabulous. That was very helpful.
Okay.
That's how we chose
okay.
Hope
okay.
Cottage.
Very nice. So do you have to take classes?
There is a class.
There are classes.
An
okay.
all-day class.
An all-day class.
Yes.
Okay.
Where you learn sort of the history of adoption, and they talk about adoption culture now, which is very different than it used to be.
Okay. 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 All right. And so in the class... In the class, so they take you through the history, and then do they take you through anything about babies, about what's going to happen when you...
No, they don't take you through anything about
okay.
what's going to happen when you bring the baby home.
Yes.
It's just more about the process and expectations and how things have changed, and now it's all about open adoption versus closed adoption, which is what it would have been like for our parents and our parents' parents.
Okay. So open adoption means that... your child...
There are varying degrees of open adoption.
Of what open adoption
mm-hmm.
are. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm very interested in that. So let's take a break. I know it's time to take a break. Then we'll jump back in on the different types of adoption for all of us that are wondering, including me. All
okay.
right. So let's take a break and we will be right back.
To Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show, and we are having a great conversation with my good friend, Meredith Downs. Hey, Meredith.
Hello, hello.
And so Meredith is taking, honestly, she is educating me because this is a process that I truly know nothing about, and I know so many people are in so many different stages of their life and their married life and trying to think, is adoption the right thing for us? And so you were telling, before we took the break, you told me that you went to Hope Cottage and decided on that agency, and then they took you to through a class, and the class, because in my mind, I'm thinking the class needs to be about what do you do once you get a child in your house and all of that other stuff.
And instead, it introduces you to the adoption process.
Okay.
And, oh my gosh, there's so many facets of it.
Okay.
Legal, emotional, for us, spiritual, mm-hmm. Financial. So they took us sort of through all of the things that we would need to do. But one of the things that they focused on was open versus closed adoption.
Okay.
And open adoption can look like many, many things. Our open adoption looks like twice a year, Hope Cottage hosts an event. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, they do a picnic, and at Christmas, they do a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, at a designated location, we come and bring our son, William, mm-hmm. and William's what we call tummy mommy.
Okay.
Comes as well.
Okay.
And that's when we get to visit, catch up. We exchange photographs. I always take recent pictures of
wow.
William so mm-hmm. they can take them home and have them.
Mm-hmm.
And in our case, we have the opportunity to see not only William's tummy mommy,
mm-hmm.
but his tummy mommy's mommy, so
okay.
his biological grandmother and
yeah.
his biological brother.
Okay. Okay.
For other people, their open adoption might look like texting back and forth, mm-hmm. person to person, mm-hmm. with tummy mommy.
Okay.
And then they have play dates. Or for some people, open adoption means they simply send letters with
okay.
pictures.
Okay.
There's the whole, it runs the whole gamut.
Okay.
And that's because these days we feel like, and I 100% agree, at the end of the day, I want my son to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
I want my son to be
yeah.
happy, healthy, and whole.
Yeah.
And I'm not his only mommy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm his everyday mommy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm his regular mommy.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have a tummy mommy.
Mm-hmm.
And his relationship with her and how he views that will impact him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want it to be a healthy situation.
Okay. Okay.
So that's why open adoption is really the only way to go these days.
Okay. Okay.
But anyhow, so in our class, they took us through financial, like, costs, and then all of the documentation we would have to provide to show that we can provide for William once we brought him home.
Mm-hmm.
Legal, whether we used their lawyer or had our own, and
mm-hmm.
how once we even took placement of William, he wasn't, like, legally ours for 6 months.
Okay.
So they gave us a lot of information. It was
mm-hmm.
a huge book. It was like 200 pages. We were totally overwhelmed.
Right, right, right. I'm overwhelmed just listening to you. Mm-hmm.
But it's wonderful because they give you the book and you get to take it home and
okay.
read it over.
Okay.
And start figuring out the steps you need to take.
Okay. So when you went to that class, did any of that scare you?
Yes.
Okay.
It did. Really, the whole process is a little bit scary and nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
And for me especially, because the way it works is you fill out all this paperwork and you go to the doctor and you get all of these things that say, yes, mentally, emotionally, financially, physically, I can care for this child.
Mm-hmm.
But then the last step is you create this book, and it's really just snapshots of your life that
okay.
you then make however many copies of and give to the adoption agency. And then birth moms look through them and select a family. for their child.
Okay.
And that is nerve-wracking because you have to think about what to present or what to show or what's going to catch someone's eye. And so the whole thing is all about trust.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to trust God that the right birth mom would see our book and the right birth mom would say, this is my child's family.
Mm.
It was all about trust. The whole thing was scary.
Yes. Wow. Okay. So, well, my first question, I've got like five questions in my head. I'm fighting myself on what to ask next, but I'm going to ask this. So did your son's tummy mommy tell you why?
No, but she said she picked up the book and she looked at the picture on the front and just knew she and her mom were looking together.
Okay.
And they both said they just knew we were Will's family.
Hmm. Okay.
So all I can tell somebody that is looking into adoption, thinking about adoption, like God has you every step of the way. He's got you.
Yeah.
And there, you just have to sort of surrender. And I am a control freak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you just kind of have to say, well, okay, I'm just here for the ride. Because if you agonize over every picture or every word or every decision that you make, you're never going to get there and you're going to be miserable the whole time.
Right, 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 right. And then, you know what? My next question is, that because I know sometimes you start the process with one child and then for some reason it doesn't work out. So what did you have?
Yes, that happened to us.
That happened to you? Okay.
So for timeline, it was December 28th of 2017 when we turned in our books and were officially listed with Hope Cottage. Between then and when we brought William home on June 14th, multiple birth moms looked at our books.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had a young birth mom select us. She was pregnant with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we met her and her daughter that she currently had.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, all right, you're my family. And then we just sat and basically waited for her to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, her plan changed on the day that she gave birth.
On the day that she gave birth. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so her daughter went home with her. From the hospital instead of coming home with David and I.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty devastating. That happened about a month after my dad passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just a kick in the gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But looking back, oh, man, God had it right.
Mm-hmm.
I was not ready.
Mm-hmm.
I was still so hurting.
Mm-hmm.
From my dad
mm-hmm.
passing away, that mm-hmm. he knew it wasn't right. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the moment, it was terrible.
Yeah. And I was going to say, going through that whole process, so you go through that, and then the next time you're chosen by this Tommy Mommy, and it did work out, but in the process, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Are you jaded from the first experience?
The best thing that Hope Cottage does in their counseling of you as you wait is they recommend that you don't decorate a baby room and you don't buy clothes specific to a child.
Okay.
Don't, like, there are a few things they say staples that you have to have, but then wait. Because had we gone ahead and gotten ready for that little girl, that wasn't our child.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
would have been just even more
heartbroken.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But They were right. All we had ready really was a car seat and a way to wash the baby and a way to wash the baby's clothes.
Okay.
That's all we had.
Okay.
And a pack, a rock and play so our baby could sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we had.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the best advice we were given while we waited. Not to guard your heart, but just to wait on investing in those other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. So then when the process, when it gets here and you're chosen again, and this time it does work out, right? So you only did this twice.
Oh, no.
Oh, more than that?
Oh, heavens, yes. Our book was shown probably to maybe 7 birth moms total.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to count. There were like 3 before the birth mom who chose us,
mm-hmm.
and then her plan changed on the day of birth.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were a couple more, 6, I'm trying to think, the 2 that were quite young.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last birth mom, so about 8 times.
8 times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And for those of you that are looking into adoption, 8 times sounds like a whole lot, and it sure felt like a whole lot mm-hmm. in the minute.
Mm-hmm.
But just remember, at the end of this process is your child. That's what
right.
kept us going.
Right, right.
So, no, there were quite a few where they call and they say, hey, we have a birth mom and this is the situation. They send you an email with all of the information about birth mom, birth dad, all of the information they're privy to.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, would you like us to show your book?
Mm-hmm.
And we say yes or no.
Okay.
We did not say no one time.
Right.
That's right. The other thing I would say is we just wanted somebody to love.
Right.
If you're going in with very narrow, I mean, my husband is redheaded and blue-eyed. If I had said we would like a redheaded, blue-eyed child,
mm-hmm.
we would still be waiting.
Right, right, right.
But if you go in with an open heart and an open mind, we just want somebody to love.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
We don't matter what gender. We don't care what color you are. We
mm-hmm.
don't care where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
your odds of being matched are much higher.
Okay, okay. But it's still a long process.
Oh, yes.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Okay. And so then you get to the end and you get your baby boy and you bring him home.
Mm-hmm.
And so you already know that for 6 months, the process could be reversed?
No. The way it works in the state of Texas is that once birth mom gives birth, typically they have 48 hours to wait and then they can sign the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Forfeiting their parental rights.
Okay.
And that's birth mom.
Mm-hmm.
Birth dad is a whole separate legal issue.
Okay.
But then once birth mom has chosen us, we sign basically to take William into our home, but the agency retains what they call it conservatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And so for 6 months, basically, they just come out to our house once a month
okay.
and make sure, I mean, they want to make sure that you're taking care of this baby.
Yeah.
That
yeah, yeah.
Everything is as it seems.
Right, right, right.
But then once you've been doing that 4 months or so, then we get ready and you pick a court date, you get a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and you go in and you say, yes, 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 yes.
Right.
Yes, we believe we are the best place for this child.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we will love him unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we will. And that's pretty moving.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can see you tearing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes official.
Yes, and nobody can do anything to
okay.
take my child from me.
Yes, yeah. So how long has it been since that time? Right now, like it's been, Will is
13 months old.
13 months old.
And we actually got to bring Will home when he was a month and a day old.
Mm-hmm.
So January 14th, we had him a year.
Okay.
And so
that's a blessing.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And God's timing is perfect. In the last 5 years, both sides of our family have experienced a lot of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And Will is just the light
right
of our
time.
Lives.
Right.
Right on
mm-hmm.
time. God
mm-hmm.
knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So this, I mean, again, this is just an area where I think it's important for believers
mm-hmm.
to get into this area, to really think about adoption and really think about, you know, going through this process. But we just have to go through it and trust the Lord.
My sister said something recently, my older sister, Bethany, and she talked about how us adopting Will is a picture here and now of God adopting us into his family.
Yes. Yes.
And when you think about the hoops we jumped through, the paperwork that we did, people came to my house and asked me about my relationship with my husband and my parents and my childhood. And I had to prove on so many levels that I would take him. And all of the things that you do, the money that it costs, the physical toll, the
mm-hmm.
mental toll that it
mm-hmm.
takes. But what would you not do for your child?
For your child.
Mm-hmm. And you have to think, what would God not do for you?
Mm-hmm.
He pursues you
mm-hmm.
just like we pursued Will.
Right, right, right. And he will not give up on us.
Nope.
Yeah. And he is love for us. So, yeah, that's really good. Yeah. That's wonderful. I hadn't thought of it in that way. So let me ask you this. So how has life changed?
Oh, my word. So we don't sleep late. We go to bed early. Mm-hmm. We don't go that many places. Everything revolves around this teeny tiny tyrant mm-hmm. who rules our world. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that has really changed is if you are married and you do not have children and you have never seen your spouse parent, you are missing out.
Okay.
To see my husband's love for our child, to mm-hmm. see the sacrifices he is willing to make, mm-hmm. I love him in a whole new way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I already knew what he was willing to do for me, for us, for our, the two of us as a family.
Right.
But to watch your spouse parent to love mm-hmm. unconditionally is just mm-hmm. a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure he would say the same thing about you.
I think that we've grown. We've stronger. Mm-hmm. Again, married in 2010. So we were married quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Almost
mm-hmm.
8 years before we brought Will home.
Yeah. And this is a blessing. And so I remember coming over to visit, I don't know, maybe been a couple of weeks in
mm-hmm.
After you told everybody he was home
yes.
with you. And like the whole family was there and everybody's just giddy and everybody's happy. And it was, I don't know, it was just beautiful to see. And I mean, like I said, your family's close anyway, so mm-hmm. everybody's going to be on top of you anyway. But this is just adds another level of celebration and everything.
And adopting Will hasn't just blessed David and I or even our families. Mm-hmm. It's blessed our friends.
Right.
I have a friend that I used to teach with who is adopted and makes her heart happy just to see.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law's best friend is adopted. And I just can't tell. It's like ripples.
Mm-hmm.
It blesses everybody.
Yeah. 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 That is good. So... So you're a teacher. So did you go back?
I have not gone back yet.
You have not
yet.
Gone back to teaching yet. Okay.
Nope. I took this first year off.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the Lord is so good. So the day that they called to say we had been chosen and Will was ours,
mm-hmm.
My husband David was at a job interview to move to teaching in Arlington. And so they called to say we had been chosen and what was our child's name? And I was by myself. And
oh.
I was like, well... Well, we're gonna name him William Edward. That we're gonna go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then David got home from his job interview, and I was like, "And by the way, it's Monday now, but we're bringing home our son either tomorrow or Thursday."
Wow!
And he was like, "What?" But God has been so good. So my husband got to move to a campus that was 2 miles from our house.
Close to the house, yes.
For this school year.
Okay.
And he has just gotten a promotion, and he's now an assistant principal.
All right.
Yes. That's new and exciting.
Wonderful.
So we decided I could take one more year off to stay home with Will.
Which I know you were absolutely giddy about.
Oh, my heavens, yes. And I think I'm going to be keeping... someone in our life group at church, she's due later this year, and I think I'm going to keep her son for a couple of months.
Oh, fun.
Because she'll have to go back when he's 4 months old, and
yes.
he can't go to daycare till he's 6 months old.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
our test to see, are we ready for baby number
two?
Or
yes.
do we need a little more time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know you want baby number two, so.
Oh, heavens yes.
Yeah.
With all that I am. I am saving my pennies.
I'm going to say, I know you're ready, and I know you have a plan.
Well, and that's the other thing. It's very daunting. It can cost anywhere from $25,000 up to $50,000 to adopt,
mm-hmm.
that, like a domestic adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were very, very worried, but God provides
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in amazing ways.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't think that you can do it, when you don't think there's any possible way, ooh, don't give up. He's got you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? His will is for us. I mean, it says it in his word. His will is for us is to multiply.
Mm-hmm.
And so however we need to multiply, go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And just know that he will provide. It's the same thing with birthing children. You think, I need to get all my ducks in a row. And what does that even mean? You can never
mm-mm.
have your ducks in a row. You'll wait for 10 years trying to make sure you have the right amount of money and make sure you have the right amount of time and make sure your job is, you know, right as you want it. And plus, life changes in a second. So you're never prepared. Just do what the Lord says. Go ahead and multiply. Whatever that means, however you get it done. Move forward.
Yes.
Yeah. So I forgot my next question if I got into multiply.
That's okay. The only other thing I wanted to add was, in this whole spiritual journey for me, the only thing that I have figured out is that, you know, some people have kids and it's so simple, so easy. Mm-hmm. My older sister, it was like, bam, oh, wait, you're having a baby. Oh, you're having another baby? Like, it was simple and easy.
Yeah.
And she was not the one who babysat. She was not the one who nannied. Mm-hmm. She was not the one who loved mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. But I think to myself, perhaps God gave me that burning desire because he knew I would be willing
to extend this far.
Yes. And so if you are someone out there and you have always desperately wanted to have a family,
mm-hmm.
maybe God made you that way because you are the one who will go the extra distance.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine my William anywhere else. He is so my kid.
Right.
He likes salty chips. He has a round face like I do. He is an extrovert like my husband and I both. Like, mm-hmm. he is so our child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. That's such a word. Okay, that's good. I'm glad you said that. That was different from where I was going. I was thinking, the other thought when I came over to visit is that you were praying over this kid.
Oh, I pray every time, every night when he goes to bed.
You were like, mm-hmm. number one, so thankful that the Lord gave him mm-hmm. to you and David. And it's such a blessing. But you were like, my kid is going to know the Lord.
Oh, yes.
And he is always going to serve the Lord. And I'm praying. I mean, you were just like full on already mom.
Oh, heavens, yes.
Mother hen, you know, I'm protecting this kid for
yes,
life.
Every night I pray for his heart and his mind to understand his situation
mm-hmm.
and to understand what God has done for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray every night and I thank the Lord for the gift that he has given us.
Mm-hmm.
And every night when I pray, I pray over William while I rock him to sleep. And I pray that the Lord gives me the words and the way to raise him that I should.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
Especially this was much like getting married when I was 32, 5-10 years after everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that took a long time, and I'm could not be more thankful for the gift God has given me. So I want to be sure that I'm doing all that I can to care for him and raise him and be what I can be for him that God has.
Yeah. So what would you say the most important thing that you all did through this process? What was the most important thing that you all did to keep you know, happy and moving forward? I don't know if happy is the right word because every day isn't happy, but keep you motivated.
The thing that kept David and I motivated is, well, we both pray.
Yeah, yeah.
But we also talk about the end game.
Yes. So the end game, we're going to mm-hmm. stay motivated because mm-hmm.
at the end of this is our child.
Yes, the Lord is going to give us a beautiful
whatever
baby.
That child, whatever our family looks like at the end of this is our child.
Yeah.
At the end of this, because it is hard.
Right.
It will break your heart. It will tear you down. It will make you cry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then you also have the most amazing ending.
Yeah.
And it's so worth it.
Yeah. That is so good. Well, Meredith, thank you so much for being here today. I truly appreciate your time and you sharing your story with us. It's blessed me, and I know it's blessed every other listener that we have today. So thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me come and share.
Well, we appreciate it. Everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org for all of the great information about Love Ministries, and we will see you back here next week. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. Have a wonderful week.